Hello, welcome to Prusa Live 37. I'm joined always with Joseph Prusa and Nicholas Sousa, and I am Matt Stoltz. Thanks, guys, for joining us for our January show. The holidays are done, and life's starting to ease back into the normal flow. But yeah, I think we've got a great show for you this month. We have Paul Chase, who will be joining us, and he is the creator of The Print Shift, which is a fun little mod for the Mini that we'll talk about shortly. But let's get started with our picks of the week, our Prusa Printers picks of the week. Mickey, I'm going to go with you and see what you've got.
I have the cutest thing ever. It's right now featured on the homepage of Prusa Printers. It's the Happy Chunky Bum Sitting Pot.
I almost printed that myself, but yes.
It's a pot, and it's really cute, and it has a bum on the back, which yes. is hilarious. So the flower is a little bit dead because I was self-isolating for 2 days and weekend, and do you think my colleagues watered my plants? Of course not. So I'm now nourishing it back to life slowly.
So you need to make a modified version that's like a self-watering, version for the thing. I will say that I have seen one that has some modifications to it that are slightly inappropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is my
Someone put a drainage hole in probably not the most appropriate place.
Okay. fair enough. So this is by Tomo Designs. I love it. What do you have, Matt?
Yeah, it's awful great. So I have one of the prints from our quick print.
Oh yeah,
It's stupid addictive of and there goes flying out of my hand.
Goodbye,
live. It's a little fidgeter that you flip the little switch back and forth, and you can just kind of hold it in one hand and sit and fidget and flip, and it makes such a happy clicking noise. And yeah, it's very, very fidgety.
How does the mechanism look on the inside?
I've super glued this one together, so it stays together, but it prints as two halves. In total, you need to print four parts, but all parts print on the bed in under an hour because it's part of our quick prints contest. So the inside, the switch itself just sits on an axle, and there's half an axle with each side of the case. And then there's a bar on the inside. And one of the things I thought that they did very fun, this is by Chris Wilcode, by the way. He made different tensions on the bar on the inside.
So the bar slides. Does the bar just like that? Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. As the switch moves across, when it hits the center, it's kind of pointed down, and it's causing the bar in the center to bend. And he has three different like toughnesses of the bar. This is his middle one, which is listed as soft. It's like hard, soft, and extra soft. It's a fun little fidgeter that I am sure I will never see again, because as soon as my wife drags it into her office, that will be the end of it. So.
And Joe, where are you? What's up with your background?
Yeah.
I am in Dubai because I was checking on Expo, and there was an event with some people from the Czech government. So I was showing them the farm and presenting it to locals here. And yeah, I'm actually sitting at hotel lobby because Bara wants to sleep. It's quite late here. So if there are any like weird noises from behind, don't worry. There's people going around here, and I hope they will not kick me out.
Okay.
Yes. Hopefully we'll get through the show before they tell you to quit being so rowdy over there. So I do love the background, though. The architecture is fantastic for a call background. So.
Oh, nice.
All right. So news, things that are going on. Again, things are a little slow right now because, you know, we're kind of getting past the holiday season, everybody getting back from vacation, and unfortunately everyone coming back from vacation with COVID, it seems, too. And so things are a little slower right now, but About a week ago, or 9 days ago, basically, we launched Flash contests. So this is something that I got inspired to do from a couple conversations, and we decided to run with it. Which, you know, we've been doing contests for a long time that are long. They last a month. They last a month and a half, something like that. And you know, they're a bit open ended to let your kind of creativity fly. But we wanted to do some very specialized quick contests that only last 9 days and are kind of heavily focused in on things. And so, yeah, the first one that we launched was Close Buttons, and you guys just kind of went crazy with it, which is awesome. There are now 617 different Close Buttons, and actually technically more than that, because plenty of the entries have like multiple designs even within an entry.
That's true.
I'm actually curious as if we are now the like single greatest like repository of button designs in the world right now. So
yeah, that is quite possible, but I'm not looking forward or you guys shouldn't look forward to picking the best one, because there are some really great ones.
Yeah, there are some really great ones here, and it is definitely going to be tricky. You know, we kind of discussed it on Twitter, and Joe discussed it ahead of time that, you know, the original plan was just to give away one prize on these Flash contests of, you know, 400 prusameters, but there's too many good ones in here. So we're going to give some sub prizes away too. A little change to the rules there. But you know, to the benefit of everyone. So
if you wonder why 9 days, we are basically launching a contest now every Friday. The first one was an exception. We just wanted to get it out as quickly as possible. But now basically you can count on that every Friday a new Flash contest starts. But the previous one lasts till the end of Sunday. So you have... That's
2 weekends.
Yeah, 2 weekends. We wanted to give you 2 weekends to finish it. So every weekend there is basically an overlap where a new Flash contest has already started and the previous one is still finishing.
Right.
So that's nice.
So... Yeah, so we have a brand new one starting this Friday, and I'm super excited about it. Like I'm really really kind of pumped for this one, especially because we're gonna have a guest judge to help us on this next one. So
neat.
Yeah, yeah.
Neat. Yeah, these are awesome.
Yeah, lots of great designs coming in already.
I'm wishing right now I would lose some of the buttons, so I can.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean that's part of how this actually happened. Is way back in the day, I was on vacation and lost a button on vacation, and thankfully had brought a printer with me, and ended up printing a button while I was on vacation and doing it, and then. I saw our good buddy Pooch, Repcord, recently talking about, or in December, talking about 3D printing a button, replacing a button. And then the kind of joke had become, well, we should have a contest about buttons. And that evolved into other conversations about making fast contests. And yeah, that's how it all went.
We have some. Yeah. I don't know if it's more news, but I guess more information. Joe, you are working on an article, right?
Yes. I'm finishing it up. It should be up probably next Friday, but the non-expected travels are keeping me off it. But Mikolas, everybody is envy of your 2,480 meters.
Yeah, I'm getting.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, and it should get some free spools or shirts or something. I mean, we have more cool merch on the way, so maybe I should get that. Something pushes nicer.
Do you guys have recent numbers? How many spools and merch have we given out based on prusameters?
I don't have it on me, but I know that Andre is always checking it. And like now, I think it's the second month, right? I think it's running. Like a lot of people are now like approaching that 350 mark. Like, you know, they got like 120 in the first month. So like the first one was just only a very few people, and now more and more are going out. It's I think a lot of people are going for the hoodie and for the shirts. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot of great feedback out there of people loving the badges, loving Gruesome Eaters. You know, it seems to have definitely, you know, hit a chord with our with our community of, you know, enjoying it.
I see the excitement all over the social media.
And
we are also getting close to the renaming of Pusher Printers. That will be fun. We already have the domains, names, and just making it work technically. So I'm super excited about this.
Me too. Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Very pumped. The new name is just it's just epic, and yeah, I cannot wait to be able to tell people what it's going to be. So
yeah, and it took a lot of effort to secure the domains.
I'm looking forward to when we can actually like talk about this more when it's all done and we are sure that everything is okay and we can talk about it some more.
I'm thinking how we should do it. Should we announce it like in advance or should we just call Turkey?
Turkey
one day just
yes. Everybody wakes up on Friday and the Prusa Printers looks and you know, totally different and has a new name.
Yeah. The logo, we even have, I think, pretty cool logo, right, Joe? The
version that we've seen.
You need to send that to me after the call because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it was actually from the first round of designer ideas. So nice. That was quite lucky.
Yeah, totally.
Last bit of news, I guess that's not news. Excel, in cooperation with support, they are putting together the most common questions and stuff that they see online popping up. So I think we will do an article that will be just like common questions and answers about the Excel to give you some update on what's going on. I've seen online the like some confusion about can you upgrade, even though it's mentioned a few times on the site. But yeah, you can upgrade from one tool head to more tool heads and so on. So this is basically what the article will be, I think. So that's something that's
very good. Expandable.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
I guess we're early, but do we just bring Paul in?
Yeah, I see no reason why not to talk to Paul already. All right. So yes, we have Paul Chase joining us. And he is the creator of the Print Shift. So Paul dabbles with giving the mini superpowers and making it a more of a home factory than it already is. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Good. So Paul has connected to us via his phone so he can kind of tour around his home shop a little bit better, so mind the jitteriness right now.
I'll try to keep it steady.
Yeah, all right, Paul. So why don't you tell everyone who is unaware, what exactly is the Print Shift?
So the Print Shift is a modification to the Prusa Mini that adds a conveyor belt to the heated bed that it can eject parts when it's done printing. Then it can restart, print again and again and again, and just you know, turn your Prusa Mini into a tiny little factory.
Awesome. Do you have one there to show everyone?
Sneak in. I was trying to see if I could switch the camera around on the phone, but
this is a nice addition to Prusa Live, having someone walk around and giving us live tour of his makerspace or like maker's den.
Home space.
Yeah, home space.
There we go. So this is the print cave. I was at the desk watching you guys. But this is the Print Shift Prusa Mini. This is my newest mini, so it's got the injection molded front. I started with the original guys.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's been going for a couple weeks now. Just looking at your printer, how long would it take you to make all that? And then...
Wow, that's a lot. Okay. Yes. So looking at it, right, the belt is not, it's not a belt printer, right? It still prints stationary on the belt.
So going from like the startup, we're stealing power from the Mini itself, have a Raspberry Pi running OctoPrint controlling her. The belt control system is this micro switch.
Uh-huh.
So all we're doing in G-code is saying at the end of the print, take your ejection motor, the split spider locks into place and ejects your parts.
Okay.
There's no firmware modifications. There's nothing. The main mod here is attaching the belt to the rollers, and you lose about 4 millimeters of print height. And I mean exactly 4 millimeters, because you guys use 6 millimeter standoffs. I needed 10 to get stuff to fit.
And you lose just a minor amount of print height on the top for the micro switch too, right?
I mean, technically you could print up there while it's running the ejector.
Probably the best idea.
They use maybe 10, 12 millimeters of print height.
Yeah.
I've never actually printed anything small enough to worry about. But like, I was doing Christmas ornaments for my friends, and even something that's going to take 10 hours to print, it's nice when you can get them to start up overnight.
And yeah, and just keep running constantly.
How do you start the next print via OctoPrint, or what do you do once the belt cycles, it ejects the parts? Do you have something that automatically starts the next print?
So I use the start and end G code in Prusa Slicer to do the ejection to lock up. So every print loads the belt and clears the belt. Then I use the continuous print plugin in OctoPrint
to
line up as many print jobs as I feel like.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool.
This guy has just restarted.
And what's the belt made of? What's the material?
It's a Kapton sheet. Kapton film. So. And actually, might be interesting, here's the pile of belts that I've been playing with. The PET sheet, thin PET, is like the nicest. This is actually, there's other belt printers on the market. The PowerBelt 3D. This is their belt material. And it sticks way too well because it's I think it's a PET G surface. But commercial conveyor belts and even PEI. PEI works really well. But after about 10 prints, it just snaps right in half. So I stopped using it. And at some point, I have a CR30 belt that is clearly not attached, but it won't fit on any printer I have. So I'm like, it's on my to-do list to get it going.
The one advantage I see of your approach is you don't really have to worry about the seam, right? About where the beginning connects to the end of the belt, because you can just always make that end up not in the printable area.
So the seam is right there in the middle. I don't know if you can even...
Yeah, not really. But yeah, I can just... Yeah, it's beneath the... Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But so when you start a print, the seam is up on top, and it does a half roll to the bottom, prints. So another half roll gets the parts off. Lather, rinse, repeat. But like, the first machine I did this on was my custom Delta printer, which works great, but if you want other people to do it, you don't want to be like, oh, just build this thing. It's like, let's start with something that is available, is reliable, and is inexpensive, really. Like, Mini for this is one of the perfect machines.
Yeah, it's a really great base platform for the modification because, like you say, it's readily available and, isn't that expensive of a platform to, to kind of tinker around with. The modifications that you make, do any of them, like, irreversibly change the Mini, or, could you take everything back off and make it a stock Mini again?
I mean, you don't even really need to take it off. You can actually pull the... I don't know if I can do it one-handed. But if you feel like the printer doesn't need to be a belt printer, you pull your spring steel sheet off, slap it on top, and just ignore the fact that there's a belt there.
Cool. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. It does actually affect the first layer height because the capton or the belt is, you know, has a thickness to it. But and this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. If I ignore the prints
there. Right before, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
how long?
The
how
belt
long does the belt last?
These belts don't really wear out. The clear PET belts, they elongate when you're printing PET G or high temperature plastics. But I really like the capton surface because I'm printing on the same spot over and over again, and doesn't seem like it's had any degradation. This is all printing PET B parts, so if you do
what are you printing right now?
These are parts for urban hydroculture. It's a aero garden accessories. So actually, we go back to the office.
Flowers. Also, they're like the little cups that.
So this is the water dam where you cover up one of the holes if your plant is getting gigantic.
Okay.
And you want to block the, you can actually see the water streaming in.
Mm-hmm.
Can we? So this actually blocks that as well so that you get more water to your plant.
Neat.
We printed all sorts of other stuff. Working on that same sort of thing. And it was the, you know, the idea of the single printer Etsy store. Well, we're growing out of Amazon and we need to print more. So this is where that grew out of.
Before yeah, we started, so, you showed us the printer that kind of started this all, and you said that Joe, I don't know if you remember it, that Joe has seen it on Earth, if I remember correctly.
So I started with belt printers. Give you the history. I bought a printer belt 2 days before PrinterBot went out of business. And this guy still works. I just haven't used it in a while. And you have issues with the angled belt printing of the print quality, but I brought his big brother, which I designed to Earth. And
yeah, I mean, if you are not into printing dragons, it is not so great for other things.
Yeah.
And like, I see a future of these are, so this is a three-axis machine is what I should say. It's X, Y, and the belt being Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
This mini, you know, X, Y, Z, clearly. Mm-hmm. This fourth axis isn't controlled. But so I went after this, the Delta Bot, which is three axis and X, Y, Z. But the Z in here is actually stepper motors, or the belt is a fourth axis and stepper motors. Mm-hmm. So I'd really like to develop this further and say, print. If you want to print parts longer than your machine, you can actually print on a plane using your XYZ axis and then use the belt to advance it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All you really need there is an advanced slicer.
Slicer, yeah. The fourth axis will really, I guess, mess up with most slicers.
Yeah.
I should go. Sorry, I'm just wandering around the basement. But it's hard to develop my tools.
But another fun room.
Ooh.
That's so
Correct more of the workshop.
I cleaned it up for you guys.
Did you?
This is an old 4XY that I was putting modern Duet electronics on and that, and then a controlled fourth axis belt. And it's up and printing, but I'm having problems getting the belt to stay centered. Basically, the smaller your belt is, the easier it is to work with.
Mm.
Scaling it up is hard. So,
one of the reasons. Yeah, one of the other advantages of the Mini there that, you know, it has a reasonable size surface that isn't too big for running the belt on.
Yeah, and even printing the face shields on the Delta, like, about 1 in 10 would be unusable due to the warp of the belt, even with high tension. And this is designed to put a crazy amount of tension on the belt.
Yeah.
But
so I think one of the you know kind of fun things that you've pointed out here is, you know, you've you've been enjoying making these mods, you know, for the fun of you know, creating something different, but it's actually enabled you to create a business to feed back into it, you know, or you may have already had the business and it's making it a little bit easier that, you know, you're now doing production work for another company because the machines can just kind of run and continue spitting out parts, you know, while you're doing your normal day job or, you know, asleep in bed.
This is about 24 hours of printing, and I was leaving it there on purpose to let it accumulate because it looks cool on video.
Yeah,
that is cool.
Are you using big spools so that you don't have to change spools very often?
I haven't been able to get reliable supply of the big spools, and it's been annoying me. So no, it's just regular little PETG.
I mean, we only have it in PLA, but we now have the recycled Prusament PLA, and that comes on a 2 kilogram spools, which is pretty nice for big jobs. But I seeing your parts, they're pretty small. I can see how even from 1 kilogram spool you can print just so many of these.
I was relying on filament out sensor for a while, but then I was like, you can just calculate how many kilograms each or how many grams each part uses, and then say print 28, and then at 28 it'll have, you know, just a tiny bit of left, and then do the swap. So
that's smart.
And how often do you have to swap a, like, running those parts, how often do you have to swap the spool out?
With the small parts, it's about 30 hours continuous. When you're doing bigger parts, you use more filament faster.
Right.
Because once it's done printing, it spends a while letting the belt cool down, letting the bed cool down, ejecting. I'm not really trying to push the print, because once the printer is continuous, you don't generally really need to.
Right.
Obviously, faster is better, but, you know, I sort of like to focus on one aspect and try and get that as well good as possible. And there's so many people in the community working on faster, I'll pick up their mods eventually.
That is interesting. As you were talking about, you have to leave it cool down, which makes complete sense. How quick is actually the time between ending of one print and starting another for you?
It's about 2.5 minutes. So I usually let it cool down for 2 minutes and then about 30 seconds of rolling the bed and heating back up. It's not really long enough to worry about.
That's quick.
Yeah, it cools it down to about 40.
Joe, do you know if we still have a belt printer in Prusa Lab? I know we did have one for a while.
We had the expensive one from the Netherlands. Black Belt 3D printer?
Yeah.
That's kind of where all this started. I'm just loving like the growth of the home gamer.
Yeah, but it was quite expensive. It didn't work. It was constantly failing.
I know we
so
did.
I don't know. Maybe it's in storage now.
Okay. I know that we did finish one print that was just Prusa, the printable logo, the patch, but it had like 100 A's with just like Prusa just going on and on and on and on.
I just finished.
Oh, what is that little guy?
So like, this is the baby belt.
That looks so jank. What is that belt?
I'm making Nicholas.
They're not even like real campers. This is a Rob Minx design, so it's his idea of the cheapest belt printer you can make, and this is just one of his old t-shirts. I'm sure he bought the fabric, but it is just fabric.
Okay.
And there's no bed. There's no solid surface.
Sure.
But I've got it printing, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cute. That's funny.
But in terms of cuteness, like,
yeah, over 9,000.
But that was about it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I'll stick the phone down so it's not as vibrating. Stand on. Yeah, if you guys have any questions on it, or...
So, can you print from... basically, my question is, what filaments, what materials can you print from? I assume Pedgy sticks pretty well to Captain if you're using it, but what about other filaments?
PETG and PLA both work great. The ABS works pretty well, but let me grab a... Like, the belt tension on the Mini is pretty high, but if you print ABS parts, mm-hmm. you can see they're pretty far away from mm-hmm. flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. strange because it's a perfect first layer. It's fully in contact with the bed. It's just... It has enough warp force that it's bending the belt around itself.
Mm-hmm. Right. I see.
Which always back in the day was the issues with the Kapton belt printers.
Mm.
Yeah. So using the thin belt and the small rollers, it's a good fit for the Mini, but I wouldn't use the same surface to scale up too far without ratcheting up the tension, or I have other tricks up my mind that I'm hopefully going to play with.
Yeah, if I imagine that, I mean, if I print something rectangular from polycarbonate or something, like, that can sometimes even lift the sheet, which is insane, like, the amount of internal stress and the force that it has. So I can imagine that lifting the belt is quite a bit easier than that.
Yeah, I've had polycarbonate shatter my glass build surfaces, ooh. So I haven't actually tried polycarbonate. Maybe it works great, but I'm going to bet no.
Yeah,
I mean the carbon fiber we have now.
Oh yeah,
blend, would be I would say quite safe, but yeah, I remember when we were printing on glass, and sometimes when the print cooled, you just lift out a piece of the glass without the glass breaking,
mm-hmm.
like little craters.
Oh yeah, I see.
Yeah, yeah. I really don't miss glass bats.
Nope.
Yeah,
they're nice how flat they are, but too easy to break.
Oh no! You can't imagine how many beats are thrown out.
Really?
Yes.
I really just like the big flat chunk of aluminum.
I mean,
that works.
Yeah.
I mean, if he would be using that on our printers, our production would be stuck. Because there's not enough aluminium.
Really?
Yeah. We have to switch up some parts. So, yeah, some parts to use different alloy, but we have to use different manufacturing way to be able to make it. So it is quite a hassle nowadays.
We almost need to integrate like all the way to like mining aluminium or something to our own. Foundries or something.
Just like recycling beer cans.
Like you expect a delay, but I can't imagine sourcing enough that you're actually getting to a shortage.
I mean, imagine if we need 10,000 of something every month at least, probably more. So it's quite different than if you are doing, you know, 10 or 100 printers a month. It is actually quite funny. As we acquired Trilab, the different printer manufacturer of the big deltas, you know, their numbers are not that high, so it's not such a big problem. But yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So here's a question that I normally ask a lot of the designers who come on who are you know, designing more architectural, but more aesthetic models, you know, figures and things like that. But what software did you use to create the parts for your print shift? What's your tool chain in your design process?
It was all Fusion 360. And it was mainly just what I was familiar with, and you know, all the Prusa Mini parts are available and already in there, so it's like,
yeah,
made it pretty easy to get a rapid. I would say that's should tell you that was PrintShift 3.0. We've gone through two iterations of how to get the belt to attach to the motor reliably.
And is this something that... go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so you are using roller and just rely on friction?
It couples.
Coupler is it's got a little
but so the belt don't slip on the right. Barks
on this roller
just friction. Yeah,
it's a EPDM sleeve to increase the friction. So steel roller covered in tubing.
Is this shrink wrap?
It's a like foam rubber weather stripping kind of.
Okay.
Got a little thickness to it, but it doesn't show up well being black. This is for the bigger printers, for the half-inch rods. The mini, I'm using 8mm rods because I don't think I need bigger. But
it makes it look such stealth. And you can't. To untrained eye, it just looked like a regular printer.
Yeah.
Wanted to look it approachable, and I didn't want to modify a good printer much because I'm like. Could easily turn a mini into a paperweight, and I don't want.
Can people are interested in this? Can they build this? Are you sharing the file somewhere, or what's the status of the project?
The whole thing is up on GitHub. Awesome. I have YouTube videos showing all the builds. I want people to build it. I do not sell the kits from it, partly because of patent issues and partly because time issues. Like. I just setting up a store time consuming.
Yeah. When is that patent running out?
A long time.
I thought it was like 4 or 5 years. I did check at some point, but
they're 20 years, right? The patent is like 10 years old right now.
I think 25. This is 25 years.
Yeah, I thought it was 25 years for a patent. I didn't think it was that long. But yeah, I do have a. I fired up a Patreon if you want to support on it, but it's mostly if you guys want to build this, I want to support it. I want to support better printers and higher quality. So I feel like part addiction, not just on a mini, but on bigger printers too. It will actually lead people to quality machines that don't break down every 10 or 15 prints. I've had one failure and it was the heated bed wire wore out after, for a year of continuous printing.
Yeah, really kind of shows the reliability there too of, this isn't, sometimes we talk about machines that, it prints all the time. It's like, yeah, except for like when someone goes to bed or, when someone forgets to change things off. But when it's automated, it really is going all the time.
Yeah, it adds up.
Yeah. Sure.
And I did stand up the world's most boring Twitch stream. If you want to check out that printer printing,
that's fun.
People kept asking, like, does it really print forever? I'm like, look, go to Twitch. Don't follow it because it's weird and creepy. It's literally just printing.
Yeah.
The way our farmers do it on the Mark III, they can fill the bed enough that when the afternoon shift leaves, there's enough print time so that when the morning shift arrives, the print is just about finishing. So there's almost no downtime. But that's because, they completely fill the Mark III bed with decently sized models. So
swapping beds. I was wondering how many beds or how many printers would you need to fully occupy one person just swapping and removing and starting?
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I don't know from the top of my head, but there's quite a team, including the farm service. If something breaks down or preemptively, taking care of the printers. But we are running over 600 printers every day, and we want to have them as stocked as possible to get the real world data.
Yeah, well, it's the other thing of. If you buy an Ender and then you tune it, you can make it. And like, I don't want to spend time tuning a printer, especially if I bought it. Like,
Yeah, if you replace all the parts, it becomes better. Oh, that's nice. Right.
Yeah. And I have built printers from scratch. I mean, you know, like, fun. Just,
yeah.
There's a time when I've got a wife, kids, job. My free time should be spent on other things.
Yeah. So if people do want to see more and find these out, you mentioned you have a Twitch stream, and the files are on GitHub. You have a YouTube channel also, right?
YouTube is sort of the main entry point. I try to link to everything from there, but it's just the Paul Chase, just my name.
And we'll try to get a link to the YouTube in the description.
I'll add it to the description, exactly. I will also paste a link to Paul's channel right now in the chat.
Wonderful. All right. Do we have any questions out there actually from the chat?
I saw a few, but I believe Paul answered most of them. Someone was asking if you need to modify the firmware at all, which you said that you don't because you simply use custom G-code, which is really smart, by the way.
Well, part of it is
I love that.
That are makerspace too, and we have a lot of makers at the makerspace, believe it or not, and they know how to modify firmware. And what we like about the Mini is that you have to cut the appendix to, you know, mess it up for other makers. So I wanted to not do that myself. Right.
I think it was for a better of the project. Because actually, you would be surprised that how many people are, you know, like staying on old firmwares and, you know, the whole firmware part, they are just so scared of it. Even without, you know, doing the appendix.
Yeah. I think Paul has a good point there. And a shared printer, knowing that people aren't just putting, you know, firmwares on willy-nilly that do who knows what, is pretty useful.
I mean, they all are trying to fix things, and they're all trying to improve things, and maybe they are, but if you don't tell people, then...
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Luke is asking if you're basically relying on perfect first layer every time if you're launching the print without checking on it.
So do I have a... The printers are not perfect. They're pretty darn good, but once in a while you do get a failure. I have a... There we go. So this is what happens when you have a layer shift.
Okay.
And at the end of the print, it ejected this part into my little part collector and started a new print with a clean bed.
Okay. So if it fails, it just ejects the fail.
I got the spaghetti detective watching them too.
Uh-huh.
Not all of them, because one, but so it'll stop the print if there's complete chaos happening, but if the print has a problem, recovers, and is able to direct the part, it just keeps printing.
Mm-hmm.
So, not always, but usually.
Do you actually, I think you probably are you rehoming the bed or not?
Oh, yes.
Are you doing the mesh bed loading? Because in theory, you wouldn't need to.
I'm a little worried about the force that the ejector puts on there, but I haven't tried taking that out of the start G-code. I can try it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you know, if you would be printing for years at the end, for example, if the Pinda sensor would break or the cable would break, unless it would stop the printer, it would be still going.
Yeah,
interesting. Do we have anything else there, Mickey?
I don't really see much. Connor is, and it's not a question, but he's saying that he would love a version for Mark III S. Have you at all considered doing it? But I mean, you talked about the Mini being small, which is an advantage in this case.
I don't know if you guys are noticed, but the Prusa guys are releasing an XL eventually. That's a 4XY system. So Scaling up to the Mark III, you have higher force on the bed and also moving bed, so you'd have to make that motor coupler a lot more robust. And that was the thing that gave me the most trouble on the Mini. Attaching the motor to the bed makes the bed so heavy that you have to print slowly, and it was painful.
Yeah, so I think there's also very little space on the Mark III. It is very well optimized because, you know, the frame start as, you know, simple square, but then with each revision we are just optimizing the hell out of it. So there's, you know, like millimeters of tolerance. So you would have to make the bed smaller to fit this in.
But yeah, my general, I would like to put it on larger printers, and I would go for Core XY or printers without the bed moving. XL is, I'm already in the pre-order, so we will work on it. And I'm trying to work on how to make the bed happier at this scale, you know, before I get the machine in hand.
Okay.
Prototyping before you even have the machine. Excellent.
I mean, the frame of the large belt ejector is just...
Yep.
These are just corners, so it doesn't matter how long the beams connected them are. The belt is right. Just... Mm-hmm. The bed is just floating in there. I mean... I do have the like the Voron design in hand. A lot of people are asking why not put it on a Voron, and well, big reason is I don't have one.
But yeah, I mean, it takes quite a time to build one.
Oh yeah,
and it's definitely not the it is definitely not the beginner printer.
Yeah,
really like to see. Like it seems like the DIY printers are either very simple and small or ridiculously complicated, and I feel like there's a huge area for middle ground of folks that want to do a nice printer that's sensible and not crazy fast, but pretty good.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us. That was excellent. We can't wait to see what comes out of the print shift, and you know, hopefully we'll see some more of these attached to some minis out there. And you know, see what people are automating. So thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, we have some people in the chat asking about the XL. So at the beginning we talked about it a little bit. So we are working on an article that basically sums up a lot of the questions that we see online. I mean, you can paste some in the chat right now. That's what we'll actually monitor as well. So that's coming in, I don't know, I'd say roughly maybe 2-3 weeks. And Joe is working on another article about stuff happening here, summary of everything, and that's coming sooner. So that's just a recap of that. And what do we do now, Matt? Do we do the...
We do our Prusa Live show us your prints.
Okay. So I already have the third place pulled up. So hopefully the screen share will be reasonable. The Wi-Fi is struggling a little bit today.
So yeah, I'm surprised my hotel Wi-Fi is, holding quite good. I am very surprised because...
Yeah, it's been great. All right, so yeah, so in third place we have Finding Desi. With the fruit bowl, and I love this model. I think it's really fun.
The model is amazing.
It looks so sharp.
Yeah, the huge wipe tower from the palette is not so awesome, but the bowl is amazing.
Yes.
So
really, really great looking piece.
Congrats, Finding Desi. That's our number three. Number two, that's what we're moving.
I mean, if you actually think about it, if you put back the model, a lot of people are talking about the base from the multi-material printers, but actually, you know, if you see all the crazy videos where they do like pencils and epoxy and all this kind of stuff, then they take all the stuff from the inside and that's just contaminated with epoxies or plastic. So I would in the case of balls like this is actually super efficient.
That's true. Yeah. They would take the whole...
Yeah, the whole inside would be, you know, just wood dust with epoxy crap in it.
Yeah. And also nasty, right? Not in a, like, compact rectangle, but in a form of particles that are basically all over the place. Just
sawdust everywhere.
Yeah.
Or plastic dust, epoxy dust.
Exactly. Okay, so that was number three. We are moving on to number two.
What's our number two this week?
And it's by Raptoron. And it's the dragon that's been popping, you know, everywhere, printed on the MMU.
I think this is a really great version of it, though. I really like the way they did it. The white tower that he's curled around is pretty fun placement of the white tower there.
I love it. And the colors are very well chosen. It's so contrasting.
Yeah, it really pops.
This looks like the dragon is guarding the wipe tower. It's his precious.
Yeah. I wonder if that's our royal blue. Like that blue looks just like our royal blue.
Yeah, it might be possible.
Could be, yeah. I mean, this could all be Prushament. I mean, we don't know if it is, but it could be Royal Blue or Lipstick Red.
The yellow, I wasn't sure. But maybe. That could be Pineapple Yellow.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to our first place. Winner this week. And it's from one of my favorite childhood series.
Oh, yeah.
It's by First Layer. Hopefully this person gets perfect First Layer every time. Scrooge McDuck. Hopefully it loads a little bit better soon.
There we go.
That's a little bit better. It's like internet from 1995.
What is happening?
Yeah, here we go. But yeah, that print is awesome.
Wow.
A little pixelated, but trust us, it looks great.
We're going to get there.
That is probably multiple MMU prints combined together? Or is it just single one?
I mean, he could combine, color changes. You think it's multiple prints?
I think it's multiple prints put together, but I don't know.
I mean, maybe, but if you,
I think based on the reflection of the code, you can see sort of the layer lines,
right?
Sitting down.
That is true. Even
the hat.
The hat, yeah, the hat.
Yeah.
Looks angled.
Right.
But technically speaking, I mean, this. I mean, even the orientation, there will be a ton of support. Probably not the best idea to print it like this, but if you really wanted to, I mean, I think you could, you have a maximum of 5 colors per layer, which I think is manageable here. So it would be kind of a lot of work switching the colors in the MMU as it, switches itself. Yeah. But
and cleaning the supports and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, congrats to First Layer.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do have any in-process shots of this, so we can see how it all printed, we would love to see those too to answer the big question. So yeah, those were excellent. Love them.
Okay, all so right. We have some time for a few questions. Although, as I said, the Excel questions, we'll put that in the article. As I scout for them, we talked about the patents. Isn't it crazy that patents are still for 25 years? Like, I find it completely insane that, they basically didn't have mobile phones 25 years ago, and now we have, we have. That's.
I have a kind of related but not fully related question for Joe, which is. This is now your second time going out to the Dubai Expo. Have you seen anything you know, at the Dubai, have you had a chance to go around the expo at all? And have you seen anything at the expo that that was exciting?
I've seen a couple of pavilions. I've seen a couple of pavilions, but, you know, we would be talking here for quite some time. But I suggest if you have some spare time, just go visit. And I would say take 2 days if you want to enjoy it and just run around. There's not too many people, so there are no big lines, and you can use smart queue in the app. So you just go in all the time, and you know there. What I find most fascinating is to try all the. Usually there is a restaurant in the pavilion, nice. So you can try the local foods, and we have Czech food and Czech beer at the Czech pavilion. So
I was going to say that is what... wonderful. What's the Czech food? What are they serving at the restaurant?
We had svíčková,
nice.
And goulash.
So cream sauce with dumplings.
Nice.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
But you know, I would say get 2-3 days so you don't look so tired as me, you know, running around all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you really a lot for joining us, because now it's what, it's 1 o'clock?
Yeah, 1 a.m.
Yeah, and I have to, I will be waking up in 5 hours.
Ouch.
Yeah, we weren't sure if Joe was going to join us because he's in Dubai, but he managed to do it. And so, and thankfully the hotel hasn't thrown you out of the lobby, so.
And the Wi-Fi is decent.
Yes, and the Wi-Fi is decent, exactly. So, all right. Anything else pop in there, Mickey?
A lot of the questions I'm seeing are answered in... I saw the draft of the Joe's article, so I know that some of the answers are there. And also the Excel will be in the Excel article. I'm thinking if I see anything else that's not in those articles. But I guess not. Improvement.
The Wi-Fi. We don't have exact date, but it's going right now. It's moving again, so it's good.
Someone said that we should put the rotation visualizer on the SD card, like as the models included on the SD card. I find that kind of that's a funny idea. You know, the thingy that you put on the extruder so it spins.
Yes. Did you see Geek Toy Box Dom's visualization extruder of Joe sucking the film?
Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah. Yes. How long until the?
My girlfriend actually saw that when I was looking at it, and she was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, I guess for an like kind of outsider, this can be like a really like what's happening? Is that your face? Are you sleeping on?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But it was fun. I'm trying to remember how long it took people to actually first finished the spool of Krushaman, so they saw it and posted it on live for the first time. The inside joke you have on the roll. Maybe we should switch it up a little bit, you know. Or make some special ones, so we have people collecting them.
Golden ticket version, like Willy Wonka.
So now I have a few questions, now that the time is almost over. PLA out of stock, about half of the colors are in stock, half are out of stock.
Yeah.
The team is working on it.
We have, we now have all the sheets in stock.
Yes,
satin sheets.
That's nice. Satin sheets are in stock. A preview of the next bigger Prusa Slicer update. So, how to put this?
We just released a huge upgrade.
We did, but like the long story short about the plans for 2.5. I mean, there might be 2.41 with like smaller fixes. There are a few rare bugs.
There will be.
Yeah. So, but that will be just like, bug fix release.
Yeah. But we are trying to shorten the release cycle this time. So a little bit less features and really small.
Yeah, but I think still Wojciech said that like with the size of the team, the developer cycle will be like, I guess, 6 months at least.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of them now. I think it's over 13.
But they are talking about, I think one of the biggest pains about that is the lack of releases, like lack of builds. So they are talking about doing something like weekly or something like the weekly builds, so that there's always a fairly recent build of Prusa Slicer. Probably not very tested, but at least something you can play with. I use those all the time, and they are usually pretty stable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we are always running alphas in the office.
Yeah. So I will be just clicking on the big disclaimer, do not use in production. Yeah, go away box. I want to use this all the time.
All right. Do we have one more, Mickey, and then we'll call it done?
I'm up for that.
You are up for... Why don't we use belt printers on our print farm? That's, I guess, relatable to this stream's topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not good for technical parts.
Yeah.
It's so unpredictable how the forces would act with it. And, you know, it's just much nicer to print in this more predictable way.
I mean, we need farmers anyway for restocking the filament, and they do other things. I mean, you know, removing the print is definitely not what takes them the most time. That's, I would say, fairly quick job. You know, remove the plate, flex it, put it in the box, put it back, and, you know, the printer is ready. But so we need them anyway, and I don't know, at least from my point of view, that it's way more reliable to print on a sheet than on a belt printer. Okay.
All right.
Can we expect the name?
All right.
I do one more. Can we do a name change before the next show, the Prusa printers? I would suspect no, but it's in that time frame. Like, hopefully it will be within one or 2 months. We'll see.
I'm not aware of how much coding it will require. But we are basically splitting parts of it. So,
Prusa printers won't entirely go away. Prusa printers will still exist. It's just what portions will be there and what functions will be in other places.
Yeah, I mean, originally I would say, it should be done in a week. Then everyone got the heart attack.
That's what they always say. Yeah. Joe and Andre was like, this will take like a day. And then we are like, this takes so much more time.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you so slow? Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you all for joining us. It's been a fantastic show, and we always appreciate you guys tuning in. Until next time, we will see you later. Stay safe. Good luck. And keep on printing. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.